Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Happy Veterans Day to all the veterans that rock with us, and happy Tuesday to everybody else. Do people get off for Veterans Day?
Yes. We had the day off.
What do you mean we?
We.
We were supposed to be off?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have came in if I knew that. Didn't nobody tell me that? Yeah. What do you mean?
It's funny because I kind of do a look around our Odyssey company nationwide, just to kind of the sports talk stations. Mm-hmm. And almost all of them was off.
Yeah. Man, didn't nobody tell me that? Yeah. I wouldn't have been here, man.
I tried to tap into the morning show in Dallas to see what they was talking about. Nico Harris.
They're off.
Yep. It was off.
What a wild day to be off, too, for them.
Yeah, I bet, was it Sean, day, Sean and RJ?
Yeah, Sean and there. RJ up there. Mm-hmm. Is that...
It's a bad day off.
Also, a random thing, because again, I'm just asking questions. Stream of consciousness. I probably need to eat something is why this is happening. Does this always move? Does Veterans Day always move? For some reason, it felt like a Monday holiday.
Yeah, I
don't know what my brain was doing.
Yeah, I didn't know it was on a Tuesday.
Yeah, I mean, they should just make it a Monday or a Friday. Give people 3-day weekend.
I have no idea. Yeah.
Yeah. It kind of makes sense now why people was off yesterday, too.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of had that longer weekend a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, everybody's off here anyway.
Yeah, it is. It's always on the 11th. I appreciate y'all. For some reason, my brain.
A normal Tuesday here.
Yeah, just a normal Tuesday. Somebody said, being here is your gift to the veterans. Sure, that's what we'll say.
I'll roll with that.
That is absolutely what we will say.
But it is Armistice Day, which is November 11th. Maybe that's why they keep it.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. Today I learned. Today I learned. Man, I realized that there was a lot of college football stuff that I didn't even get to. You see USC try and get out here and put their backup quarterback with the same number as their punter, mm-hmm. just absolutely violating the rules, and they got away with it, ultimately getting a win. Like, I was so ashamed of them doing these shenanigans.
Those rules are meant to be bent.
And then also, I did want to shout out Oregon. I thought Oregon did a fantastic job going into Iowa.
That was Big Ten football.
Very much so. They were like, oh, we will get stooped down to your level and beat you at your game.
Mm-hmm.
All right, with that being the case, I want to circle back to this Texans team, if you don't mind. Here's Jean Lopez. Because one thing that we talked about is like the DeMeco Ryans philosophy, what he's trying to do largely with this team. And one question that I asked myself once this game had gone final is, you know, I'm thinking about it and mulling it over in my brain. Did this game serve as a validation for DeMeco Ryans' philosophy? If for no other reason, then there was a real sense of relief
mm-hmm.
in the way that DeMeco Ryans talked. You could hear it through the speech in the locker room.
Yep.
You could hear it on the podium, both after the game and yesterday. It really just feels like an era of, oh, finally. He even talked about it. He's like, I've always believed that this team is capable. As if like this was like the triumphant moment at the mm-hmm. end of a movie, right? Where you know the protagonist, you know, raises their hand in victory with the horns going. Like there was kind of that feeling, and it felt like. And I asked myself, like, is this a validation of what they believe themselves to be? Like in the fourth quarter, you got them on the offensive line, getting off the ball, hat on a hat, moving dudes. You eventually got them like throwing the football up and down. They talked a lot about how this basically complimentary football, right?
Yeah.
Like they talked a lot about all these things and seemed like they wanted this to be a validation of that. Does it serve as that for you?
I think it, well, for me, we'll see. But DeMeco, DeMeco said as much after the game. I mean, I think to him, In some ways, this might have, and not just the fact that their season was on the brink, but just in terms of how he, you know, wanted it proved that, you know, that this can work. I think this was maybe the biggest game of the year for him. And this is what he said.
Yeah, the thing that stood out to me the most is how we finished the game. I would say because like in that boxing match, a lot of bad things happened. The guy was down pretty bad and it didn't matter. Right. He had a will and desire to win, And that's what I wanted our guys to see. That's what I wanted them to do yesterday, is just showcase that desire to win no matter what happens, no matter how the game looks in the first half, like how are we coming out and how are we finishing in the second half. So I'm most proud of how we finished. We still have things to clean up. We can execute better when it counted, when we needed it most. Davis, the receivers, they made, I mean, outstanding plays. The touchdown pass to Dalton, I mean, it was such a huge play. And to come back and make another huge third down pass to Dalton there towards our sideline, I mean, those are huge plays that Davis made. And, you know, he doesn't make those plays without the protection being good. I thought our offensive line protected well and allowed Davis to make those plays. So I'm just really proud of how we truly finished the game.
I mean, you could hear it there in his voice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he just was a different, you know, not as much of a little edge. And, you know, we all remember the whole outside noise thing. Look, the outside noise, whether you liked it or not, you know, was valid. And I think,
y'all good?
Yeah. Y'all good? You guys good? All that stuff.
Everybody was friends on Monday. Don't even worry about it.
But I think the reason it struck a nerve is because there was something to it. And now this was like a big exhale. You know, it did, the plan and the philosophy did show itself and did prove to be right. So 100% is valid. Now, where are they going from here? We'll see. But I think starting a practice tomorrow, they're all going to have that hop in the step and the confidence.
Did it prove itself to be right?
They hung in there when they're down 29-10.
They did hang in there. Yeah. They did get down 29-10. And, yeah, of course, there was a lot of leakage here, mm-hmm, that ultimately got them down 29-10. We can revisit it if we want to, where, you know, there's you know, interception, there's, yeah, you know, sacks that's happening, there's, you know, special teams, both the turnover and a touchdown allowed on special teams. So I don't want to make it seem like it's just that. But the idea of, well, we're just going to play this complimentary football and we're just going to, like, create these drives that, mm-hmm, go up and down. I don't know that that was validated in this game, because they got to a point where they kind of had to throw caution to the wind because they were down by so much in order to save that philosophy.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing that's odd to me. And I hate to be the Debbie Downer here, but it feels like almost like the relief that came in here is, despite the fact that you look up and you go, hey, the way that you guys want to win still didn't win you this football game.
The way that you want to win, you know, run the ball, safe pass, we all know the story. Didn't happen. But what did happen is they didn't fold up. And I think that's what he's talking about. Like, you know, there are a lot of teams right now in the NFL that just fold up in that situation. Defense gets frustrated. We've talked about that. Is there going to be a point where all of a sudden one side of the locker room looks at the other side of the locker room and says, what the hell are you doing? And this was a perfect game for that to happen, you know? And I think that's what he's talking about. I hate to be so cliche, but it's what he believes in and what really showed itself, the resilience, you know, the fact that they didn't start fighting with each other, you know?
No, I mean, that's, yeah, fine and good. Like, yeah, I think that that's absolutely something that is valuable and that is worthwhile, the idea that they are resilient, that they're not going to turn in when those things get tough.
No.
But the philosophy, and we've talked about this,
right?
Like, the idea that they're going to get out here and we're just going to lock down that other team, we're going to, like, just, you know, have possession, mm-hmm, run the football, you know, just not make mistakes, time of possession. That didn't ultimately play out at the beginning of the game. Now, I do wonder if, on the other side of that, if you go, once you were able to lock in on that, mm-hmm, and actually be able to run the football and actually have the time of possession, you saw the success. The question that I've had, and it's the same one that you've had, and it's the one we've had for a while, is how reasonable is it to expect that you're just going to keep hitting on being damn near perfect in that way? Because, again, you started this game with a lot of not perfect, mm-hmm, and then eventually you kind of were able to make it up, but it didn't show up that way.
Yeah, and we've talked a lot about, you know, they have to be perfect, you know, in order for this approach, this philosophy on the field to work. Well, we saw what happened when you're not perfect. You're down 29-10. You're muffing. It's going to happen. You know, you're muffing a punt. You're having a punt return right in your face. You're throwing an interception on the third play of the game. You know, all these things. So, you on the one hand, a better team, you probably lose that game. But on the other, I think what he's talking about is, like, being able to still withstand all that and get it done.
So, but okay, and I hear you. The thing that scares me. Can I tell you the thing that scares me, John Lopez?
Please do.
Is that, regardless of that last part, which, again, I'm with you on. Mm-hmm. I love it. I'm happy to see that you have a team that's willing to fight, if for nothing else, for the city. Because there's points in this time. I mean, we saw that. We watched the game where people turned it off and people walked down. Yeah. They're like, no, we will continue fighting. I appreciate that mm-hmm. from the football team. The decision makers, though, like, does that go into validate what has seemed to be a philosophy that at least has been flawed, if not is not working, mm-hmm. and that they will follow that continue into the Titans game and further on? When, again, I don't know that that is the right takeaway from what happened this game.
It's a really good question. You know, that is a really good question. I think that's where the relief also came into play for D'Amico. He realized, you know, he's got it on wax, as you like to say. You know, if you do hang in there, you know, he can still talk about, you know, doing things the right way. But it is a good question, because you got the Bills coming, you got the Chiefs coming, you got the Colts coming twice, and you get down like that, you're in trouble.
Now, of course, yeah. when I say his philosophy isn't to go down to 19 points. Right? His philosophy isn't to go right. down 17 to nothing
yeah.
early on in the game. And I understand that those are things that, when he says we've got some things to clean up, I think there's a very mm-hmm. clear acknowledgement of that portion of this. But also, you're not going to be facing the Jaguars in right. order to make this comeback right. like all that viable. And so I think I paired that with also the feeling that I know, the visceral feeling that I had when mm-hmm. I go, who the hell is that on the offensive line? And, you know, the visceral feeling that you have looking at some of the decisions as they are made in real time. And it just, it makes me wonder, like, are they going to take from this the lessons that they're supposed to?
I'm also wondering if they're going to take the lessons they're supposed to. This might be the more important thing for me. If they're going to take the lessons they're supposed to take from their pregame decisions, will they learn from that bizarre offensive line lineup that they stopped up? You know, did they not only as a team, you know, realize, you know, hang in there, did they also as a front office realize, all right, you know, we can't just be rotating guys and throwing guys into the offensive line here and there? Obviously, Woody Marks, it looks like they've learned that. He's going to get more reps, you know. But what about even Jalen Noel? It took a while, you know, for him to start getting more
in this game.
Yeah.
I'll still give them that they got there, that he over doubled his snap count from previous weeks. Like yeah. I'll give them that. I don't need to be bitter.
Are they
going to
start the offensive line that ended the game?
Would you want yes. them to start the offensive line at the end of the game with
Titus Howard at guard? Yes. Yes. Wouldn't you?
I've been dancing back and forth on this yeah. because it did feel like Trent Brown was pretty good. Trent Brown still had to go get an X-ray
yeah,
after that game.
Yeah, he was in
a boot. Right? Like this.
Now, that doesn't necessarily mean it's bad. He might just be immobilizing it so it gets better quicker because those boots work magic. You ever had one of those? They're like mm-mm. magic, man.
I yeah. haven't. I've been very fortunate to
get
not
one
have any,
oh,
any
injuries. You know what? It might help you. That's right. You got an ankle.
Yeah, thing. You came yeah. up with the ankle yeah. injury and you ain't even do nothing
Dude,
this weekend.
Yeah. Wear it for 2 days. You'd be amazed. Like, seriously. Yeah. But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
You know, I was like, are you a salesman? You got a stock or something? What's happening here?
That number again is, no. So, Trent Brown at right tackle, Titus at left guard. I'll be upset if they don't do that, if they're healthy.
You'll be upset?
Yes. This is the best line they've had all year. And throw Titus Howard into the mix.
How much do you then account for the idea that what Trent Brown said, that defense was tired, and that's when you started getting pushed? How much do you account for that? And then also, you know, Titus Howard's been very good at right guard or right tackle, rather. And Trent Brown was good with some small caveats in there, and mm-hmm. also a Jaguars pass rush that does not have a lot of teeth.
Yeah, that's always
going
to qualify it,
right? But yeah. I mean, the Titans don't have that as well. But I do wonder again, like, what is the ultimate takeaway? I don't know. Like, I'm still bouncing back and forth because I kind of like the idea of Titus remaining, but also I recognize the fact that you have a rotation mm-hmm. at left guard, and it feels like that step up would be significant enough if you had Titus there. But is that move around? Like, again, we come back to the question that you had week one. Like, is that mm-hmm. musical chairs worthwhile? Is right. that something that you like in order to get your potential best five out there?
The musical chairs, I'm just never going to be down with that. Ever.
But that's what you're calling for here is a
but
Trent
no,
Brown
I'm saying
net, right?
Go to this and do what D'Amico has said. In fact, he said it this past week again. Once you find the guys that work, stick with them and let them go. I think you found the guys that work. I mean, Juice at right guard was pretty good. It wasn't great. I mean, there was a caveats as you said about
so you wouldn't even have Ed Ingram when he's prepared
no Ed
to come
Ingram
back
healthy
at
for
right
sure.
guard.
Okay. I just don't know where he is. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, it would be right to left, you know, Trent Brown, Ed Ingram, Andrews, which I'm not a big fan of, but he's their guy. Titus Howard, Ursary.
Let me ask, mm-hmm. do you feel like we've been kind of we've been kind of been kept in the dark on Jarrett Patterson because Jarrett Patterson was never even really in the competition at left guard. Yeah. Or well, at center he was a little bit, but then Jake Andrews took hold of that.
That ended quickly, though.
Patterson looked pretty damn good in this game at guard.
And that's my question. Did they finally learn? You know, all your boys, you know, all the guys that you like, all your favorites, your teacher's pets, screw that. Put these guys out there.
That will be an interesting.
And you know who I'm talking about.
I can't tell you that I know that for certain.
Yeah.
Because again, time and time again this year, we've seen them kind of seemingly figure out something that seems to work, and then the next opportunity that not show up on the field. On the YouTube page, I probably shouldn't do this. I'm doing this anyway. Shout out to Pal Pal saying the Jaguars haven't been a dumpster fire this year. Just acting like they're the same terrible team as they've always been is not true. That's not my intimation, but I can understand how you get there. The thing that I was saying when I said that the Jaguars let you back into it, I thought that they made some really poor coaching decisions, the Jags, like against Davis Mills, just going, hey, we're going to play a whole bunch of zone.
Yeah.
Like, and just allow you to piece us up in that way. Like, I thought that that was a bad decision that they made. So, and then they were not able to get pressure. And they haven't been, like, a huge team when it comes to getting to the quarterback and getting him down.
Yeah.
So I think that those are the things that I was pointing to in that way. Probably should have been clearer about that, but no, I'm not pretending like the Jags are awful. I did think that they put up an oddly poor game in that instance, which you kind of have to in order to allow any team, even though it's a great defense, to come back from down 19. You know, you kind of have to do a little bit of that there. All right, yeah. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Let me know. Do you think that game validated the philosophy of D'Amico Ryans, and how confident are you in this, how this goes forward? But right now, though, it's time we hand things over to Figgy Fig for the mixtape. What you got, man?
Yeah, so what's the most intense argument y'all ever got in on when it was over something super silly?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's a situation that happened in Florida, and this guy took it a step further.
Oh, no.
What's the most intense argument you got over something silly? Ooh, that might be fun. Let's do that.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, it is the mixtape in the loop, Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Tuesday. Happy Tuesday to everyone out there. What's the most intense argument you ever had that was over something silly? 713-572-4610. I'll give y'all time to think about that.
I have way too many of them. It's really a shame.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, I feel like you guys know I can be a relatively serious person. I think I take the things that are serious seriously. So the things that are nonsensical, I have fun.
You take them seriously.
I'm just like, yeah, let's argue about this. Why not?
Yeah. So apparently it was some guys in a bar that was having a conversation, and it kind of took a left turn.
Uh-oh.
So let's go to Florida. And I'm kind of giving y'all a hint right there.
So it's a Florida man.
It's a Florida man.
Uh-oh.
Florida man. Yeah. Salute to KENS5. This is actually out of San Antonio. Yeah. But here's a story about a Florida man who gets in an argument over something a little silly.
An argument over chickens and just how many eggs one can lay led to a shooting. This happened in Florida, in Port St. Lucie. It all unfolded early Tuesday morning outside of a pub. Police say a 44-year-old man apparently pulled a gun during this heated exchange and fired four shots at three people as they ran away. No one was hit. Officials say the three victims knew each other but had just met the accused shooter that night. The suspect was arrested and now faces several charges.
It's terrible that the shooting happened, so I don't want to, like...
Nobody was hurt, though.
Nobody was hurt. Nobody thanks, hurt.
So, okay. Yeah.
This also sounds bad. If it was just a fight, I would have loved this. You want to know why? Like, this is restoring the feeling. This remind, like, going to a pub, just getting to argue about something. Like, this is conversation. Nowadays, what should happen and should have happened here is that someone just pull out their phone and
yes,
answer this.
That's where I was thinking.
However, I do kind of miss the days where you just kind of went back and forth about something because there's not an immediate way to answer this question. So let's just talk it out. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that used to be a good time. Were we the most accurate and informed? No, but we're not anyways, anymore anyways. So might as well have some fun with it.
Imagine how the conversation would. Just imagine you at a bar.
Ain't no way that chicken lays five. Yeah. Ain't
or,
no way.
Or which one come first, the chicken or the egg?
No, the chicken come first. You're not going to tell me that this five eggs? Is what you trying? You really trying to tell? Look me in my face right now. You trying to tell me five?
I
eggs?
Got chickens. I know how no, much no, no, eggs no they chickens. Lay. I'm going to the trunk.
I'm going to the trunk.
And that's what he did.
By the way, I think it is about five or six.
Is it really?
I think it
that
is.
That was a complete guess. I have nothing. I know nothing about you. All our farmers, do I look like?
All our farmers will help us out, but I want to say that.
Why don't you go ask that dude that disagreed
Google.
With that?
I'd rather Google. Thank you very much. And I'm trying to think of like the silliest. Here's the thing. Almost all my arguments are over something silly. Yeah.
The one I remember from Lopez, and this it was on these very airways, were the water polo. Remember you got to it?
Oh yeah,
we call him the water polo
the
guy.
Water polo guy. Water polo tight end.
Yeah, yeah. We as a Kahali wearing. Mm-hmm. We always call him the water polo tight end.
And it was one dude.
Yeah, one dude that got really offended.
Yeah.
And then they end up going back and forth about water polo.
So he was like, you don't know anything about water polo. I said, excuse me, sir, my son swam.
He said, I covered it on the deck of the pool for the Olympics.
I've covered it in the Olympics, and my son was on the Texas A&M water polo team. Yeah,
they went back
Thank
and forth.
Thank you
for,
very much.
They went back and forth for about
you
5 minutes.
You are wrong, sir.
Yeah. They kept going back and forth. And by the way, this was a around the NFL segment.
Yeah.
And we sitting there talking about water polo.
That sounds like good radio for me. That sounds like good. I was like, the most likely location for these to happen, it's a barbershop, right? Like this is pure barbershop conversation. Although the thing that came to mind, and I've told you guys about the time that me and my friends, being tremendous dorks, spent a good legitimate work shift amount of time.
Oh yeah,
debating superheroes. One of the stupidest debates that I've had. I feel strongly about it, though, is that Aquaman is actually a good superhero. Literally at least an hour. Like, just back and forth. Heated, yelling, people coming around like, hey, keep it down. We hear you through doors and stuff. Yeah. That definitely been
But
there.
He is. Aquaman? Let me tell you about Aquaman.
You don't understand. Like, he controls water. So he could control the water in your bloodstream. And then you got to think about that. You got to think about it. Is it?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the mixtape in the loop, Sports Radio 610. Shout out to Charlie Sheen. You know Charlie Sheen pretty well,
That's
right?
your homeboy, right?
At one point I did, yeah.
Yeah, y'all was hanging out in that Mexican restaurant, right?
Well, no, it was
A different time?
Yeah, that was a different time.
Oh, that was the other
time.
Is he
the one who offered you?
No,
that's the other time.
That was someone else. Yeah, my bad.
The other.
Lopez right. over there fixing his nose a little bit. But Charlie Sheen was on all of the Smoke podcasts, and Rockets legend Mad Max, he decided to wait around for him so he could speak to Charlie. So apparently they hung out a couple times back in the day. And this is the first time they saw each other in 30 years.
Yeah.
It's been that long. And here is Charlie Sheen's reaction. And he almost didn't recognize Mad Max for a minute.
The Adventures of Mad Max and Charlie Sheen. We're going to welcome our homeboy, Mad Max. Vernon Maxwell on the show.
Hi, how are you? It's good to see you.
You doing this guy?
I'd stand up, but I'm dealing with a lot of equipment. Nice to see you.
Yeah, yes. I had to come out. I had to stay around and say hello, man.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute.
Vernon Maxwell.
Vernon Maxwell? Yeah. Oh,
I didn't know you were Mad Max.
I don't go out some damn.
We were hanging out in San Antonio together.
Yes, all the time.
But wait a minute. But you
we had some crazy nights.
But you haven't aged like one day.
He looks good, man.
God.
Looks
I appreciate good. You, brother.
No, you look amazing.
Thanks, man.
That's
thanks.
Not fair. Yeah. Wow. I'm sorry I didn't put the Mad Max together.
No, it's okay.
My bad. No, but what a treat to see you.
Yeah, man, you too. But wow. I had to stay around to see you, man.
Wow, that's awesome.
I'm glad to be surprised and everything.
Hold on. So you guys
doing.
Had some San Antonio nights together?
Yeah.
Yep, and Lopez was around them too.
I listened to the whole thing because I wanted to see if he had told any other stories. I only remember one night that I was, because Charlie Sheen was always best friends with Frank Borkowski, and I was pretty tight with Frank, and so that's when I went out with him a couple times. Once in L.A., once in Milwaukee.
What's the statute of limitations?
No, we good.
Okay, all right.
So, like, just on the road, because mm-hmm. Charlie would travel with the team, and I would sit across from him in the aisle.
Press pause.
Yeah.
He was just traveling with the team?
Yeah.
What a time.
I traveled with the team.
Yeah. No, journalists traveling with the team.
Back in the day.
Just, like, anybody just jumping on traveling with the team?
Frank would invite Charlie on some trips. And they would hang out in San Antonio. So I never really went out because obviously I lived there, family and all that. I never really went out with Charlie Sheen and some of those guys in San Antonio. But I do remember one time when Max was there on the road. And I think it was in Milwaukee, of all places. It was from Borkowski and Maxwell, a couple of other guys, and Charlie Sheen. And, I'll say again, you know, not going into the details, it was everything that you imagined it would be.
I bet. I just love, because when I saw this, because I did see this video as well, not going to lie, it's probably preconceived notions on my part. I'll accept responsibility. I was surprised he remembered him.
Yeah. I don't think he would remember me. Maybe my face. I don't know.
With all the stories that Sheen tells, that, like I am surprised that his brain works the way that it does at all.
It's every day.
He was just so shocked. He was just like, hey, how you doing, man?
That Vernon Maxwell.
Also, shout out to Charlie Sheen. And I think one of the things I love about this is it's a reminder. The people that are like famous, they know how to handle this incredibly well.
Yeah.
Because that first interaction, you would have never guessed that like he was just kind of like just being polite. You feel like, oh, he kind of understands it. Yeah. But then you heard the switch where he's like, oh, no, Vern. Yeah. That's Vern? Oh, man, my bad, Vern.
The first part, you thought he knew who he was.
Right.
Like, oh, hey, what's up, man? Mad Max, what's up, man?
Yeah.
And like, holy bleep, wait a minute. Vernon Maxwell?
Yeah.
Back in San Antonio, just kicking and snorting loose something?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
Hey.
Yeah. It's a mixtape in the Loop Sports Radio 610. Let's kind of keep it in Texas a little bit.
Okay.
So, shout out to Lil Kiki, Legend Talk. I think a new episode dropped today. And remember the last time we played some Kendrick Perkins? You could tell he wasn't really a Texans fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's a Packers fan, too. That's probably the other Packer fan I was thinking about. But here is Kendrick Perkins with Lil Kiki and kind of their back and forth talking about this Texans win.
All I'm saying is, hey, y'all done found y'all quarterback. Y'all done found y'all quarterback. Y'all done found y'all quarterback.
We're not going for that. Hold
on. The truth hurts. All I'm saying is this. The damn Davis Mills, he comes in. First of all, it was the most impressive win of this season for the Texans. Right?
Yeah.
You down. You had to go get it. Your defense been holding it down this entire season. What you just said about Nico Collins, that was his best game of his season.
It was.
Who was throwing him the football? It was Mills.
Millie Mills.
And then you talk about plus, hold on. Almost 300 yards, 3 touchdowns. On top of that, bro, they scored 26 points in the fourth quarter. CJ Stroud would never.
This is straight up barbershop talk, man.
100%.
This is 100% in the barbershop. This is that barber that ain't got no customers.
Yeah.
Sitting there like, Davis Mills is way better than CJ.
And to be fair, a pretty good barbershop argument.
Oh,
right?
No, like, he stated the case strongly.
That one works in a barbershop. 100%. I thought about it as he was saying it when he goes, best Nico Collins performance. Clearly, just yards, period. What do you do the thing with the 54-yard Hail Mary at the end of the second half? Because it wouldn't be his best like yards performance if you take that off.
Yeah,
I know that you're not a fan of minus this one thing.
Yeah,
but.
I'm not. But I think even before that, you could see them. The yards weren't there, but the catches were. You know, they were targeting him a lot. So, but that's neither here nor there. I just love him.
Oh, you're like, I'm not here to examine this. I just thought it was like that
straight up in the barbershop, man.
He's not even trolling either.
Yeah.
He's like the barber that 100%. Let me
he believes that for real.
Yeah. Nah, Joe Louis was 178 years old.
he did whoop his ass. It's a mixtape in the Loose Sports Radio 610. This is where I usually do my salutes and special salutes and all that stuff. I'm going to add another one to this long list. Better next time. Better next time to Kim Kardashian. she failed her bar exam, her California bar exam. Because we all kind of know she's been trying to be a lawyer and all that stuff.
Right, yeah.
And she failed. Mm-hmm. And this is the funny part to me. TMZ, who is very close with Kim Kardashian, they are very pro Kim Kardashian from my time keeping up with them. Mm-hmm. They tweeted this. Kim Kardashian, by the way, side note, she's the owner of Skims.
Yeah.
They tweeted, Kim Kardashian will for sure skim those law textbooks a few more times because she didn't pass the bar exam on her first try.
That's real nasty.
She's ready to try again.
I see what they did there.
That's real nasty business by TMZ.
I'm like, why y'all going to do that,
all
man?
Of a sudden, they trying to be gossip? What's happening there? That is a deep cut. If you know, you know. Yeah. If you don't, just let it go. Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to get to the thing that I saw, which was that she did not pass her exam in part because she was using ChatGPT to study.
Well,
I didn't see all that.
I wanted to say the logical thing here, and the logical thing is the bar exam is extremely hard.
Very hard.
And more so in California, apparently.
And honestly, a lot of your favorite lawyers do not pass on first go.
That's what I was going to say. I want to say that because it's extremely hard. We all know have some attorneys in our families. And as I understand it, California is like the hardest in all 50 states.
Did not realize that, but that makes sense.
That said, I'm not so sure. Remember, she gave herself a graduation?
She did. But I think it's because she went through, like, and correct me if I'm wrong. Sorry, I'm not in the legal profession.
Like an online kind of? No, she was an intern.
It was like an apprenticeship type thing, which I will give her credit. It does appear that she was taking this seriously, although if that ChatGPT thing is correct, I'm sorry. I'm not above laughing in that way.
Yeah.
But, she's taking it seriously. I have no ill will towards her. I do find it weird that so many people, like, she and her family were one of the early people that folks, like, took to just bashing.
Yeah.
You know, roundly and widely just off the strength of we don't believe that you deserve what you have, which I found to be a little odd. I'm not in that boat. I wish her well, especially as she's seemingly trying to, you know, do something
well,
and seemingly for a good cause, because she seems to be like trying to help people who were like falsely incarcerated
she
and
does.
Things of that
yeah.
nature. So,
yeah. And she has a TV show now, right?
See, now this, I'm so glad you got here because I was hoping.
Like a sitcom type of TV show.
Is it a
show?
Sitcom? Okay.
But what about attorneys?
Yeah. But it's attorneys with the ass out.
It's like a Fox. Yeah.
Because I know
you got
Niecy
Nash. You got all type of different artists or actresses on there.
I don't, that's all I had. I was just like.
I didn't know if you saw about the Kardashians reality show.
No,
because
I was
they still
about,
got that going.
No,
on
there's
too.
I didn't know if it was a sitcom or nothing. All I saw was a still of some supposed attorneys.
Yeah, she's actually playing an attorney
with
on
her cheeks
TV
out.
Show.
With well, her cheeks out.
At least she's an attorney on TV.
Yeah.
I may not be an attorney, but I play one on
play
TV.
Play one on TV.
Okay, very good.
Hey, real quick, I got a thanks for nothing.
Yes.
So this is for, I got a little FBS action here.
All right.
So it's a quarterback by the name of Jake Shackle, quarterback of Eastern Washington. He faced Montana. Mm-hmm. They were down 29-24 with 9 seconds left on the clock, and the clock was running. And what do you do when the clock is running and you – just got a playoff and you trying to get going.
No timeouts, you mean?
Yeah, no timeouts.
Spike that sucker.
He spiked the ball. Yeah. You're correct. And he spiked it, but he did something else.
After they spike it, Spackle will spike it.
He fumbles
it. The ball. He lost the ball at the 10.
That's game over.
They can't stop it.
He fumbled the spike.
So what, like, on the backstroke?
Yeah, no. So he spiked it and didn't catch it and kind of dropped it. And so he went to
grab it. How's that work? Completion, isn't it?
How's that work?
I got to see this.
Yeah, so yeah. What he did, I think he spiked it and I guess he
caught it and dropped it. I thought it came out the back of his hand when he was trying to spike it.
Nah, but he tried to fall on it. Mm-hmm. He actually did recover the fumble, but they had no timeouts.
Mm-hmm.
So the game was over.
Dang.
That's so, wild.
Man, thanks for nothing,
Eastern
man.
Eastern Washington?
Yes. They're facing Montana.
See this.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And for
fumbled,
what is
fumbled it, huh?
Yeah, for what it's worth, he did go 43-63 for 451.
He was in the ice bath.
That's probably why he was just like his arm was done. It was about to fall off. Mm-hmm. It's like Mr. Potato Head, how you could pull the arm out. Like that's what was happening on his arm in that moment.
Oh yeah. It came out
on the backswing. Why are you backswinging like that? Yeah. Just right down.
He kind of went up to throw it. And
they
could have
won that game.
Hand.
They was in the red zone, too.
They were on the 8, something like that.
Yeah, I think like, 8 or the 10.
Oh, boy, that's
Oh, you hate
brutal.
To see it.
That's just
That's tough, man.
You do hate to see it. Well, that's the mixtape.
Damn shame what they did to that dog.
I was waiting for it. That is the mixtape right here in Loop on Sports Radio 610. 1:20 p.m. every weekday. Is when you get that segment at the Figgy Fig on social media. If you see something that you believe to be mixtape worthy, send it to him. He'll shout you out. All right, you're in the loop. Coming up next, let's get ready to hand things off to the fellas of the drive. But before that, do the Rockets need to tamp down this zone? There's a couple of interesting things that are happening that I want to bring to you, John Lopez. I'm interested in your perspective. We'll talk about it next. Yeah, indeed. It is in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you guys rolling with us. On a Veterans Day, happy Veterans Day to you. I should probably break out the list one more again, shouldn't I?
Just sure. Free meals are discounted.
Yeah, man. It's either free or discounted. I don't know that I have
specifics. It should be free, damn it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I don't make no rules around here, Fig. I feel like if it was, I'd be giving a lot of people free stuff. I don't make no rules. I'm not nobody's
daddy. I'm just saying, it should be free.
Should be.
I'm with you. If you are a veteran or if you know someone who's a veteran, go out and get you your should be free or will be free. Applebee's, BJ's Restaurant and Brew House, California Pizza Kitchen, Chili's, Dave and Buster's, Denny's, Freddy's Frozen Custard, Golden Corral, Hooters, Olive Garden, Outback Steakhouse. Are there even still Shoney's around here?
I don't know if I've seen one lately.
All right, I shouldn't even mention that one. Texas Roadhouse, Twin Peaks, Wendy's, all of them having Veterans Day deals. So go ahead and take advantage of that. Just a little way to say thank you for your service. All right, we're getting ready to hand things off to the fellas of the drive here in a moment.
Yeah, just real quick, want to talk about a friend of mine.
Oh, please do.
Patrick Feegis, and I wanted to make sure that it's still the same. Feegis Barbecue over in Spring Branch. They've been on my barbecue podcast a couple of times. Get this, and I wanted to make sure it was the case again. He does it every single year. Feegis Barbecue. Patrick is a Purple Heart recipient himself.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Salute.
Complimentary barbecue plate, 2 meats, 2 sides, a dessert, and a drink to all veterans. That's today, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Okay.
Now, that's something.
Let me put on my camel jacket and go
Don't
on
do that.
Over there, man.
Don't do that. No stolen valor around these parts, baby. No stolen valor. Don't do
Let
that.
Let me get my Army Fatigue Astros hat or something.
All right. Okay.
I think you got to have some sort of ID. I don't know, but... Patrick and Aaron.
They just going honor system?
Yeah. They probably will now.
Yeah.
Hey, what war are you serving? Korea.
Yeah. Now, they do a good job. They've been on the podcast. His wife, Aaron, is the one that kind of had an experience like the bear, you know, real intense.
Oh, wow,
intense type of restaurant in New York. So,
the real question is the barbecue good?
Oh, my gosh. They've been on my podcast. There's your answer.
I was like, what
again.
That mean?
Like, what that mean? The hell do that mean?
What that mean?
These are good.
I'll take your word for it. By the way, I was in the lots on on Sunday. Another person was complimenting the OG sauce, and I was trying
hell
to.
Hell yeah.
I was like, damn it.
Yeah.
You know, all right. Good. Do the Rockets need to slow down on the zone, you think? We're about 10 days or 10 games into this season. They'll be playing again versus the Wizards tomorrow evening. But The Rockets are quite literally playing more zone than anybody in the National Basketball Association. I think last I checked, according to Synergy Tracking, Houston has played zone on 18.6% of their defensive possessions, which is almost double the rate of any other team this season, where Miami is ranked second at 9.7%. It would be the second highest rate in all 18 seasons of Synergy Tracking. Like, this is
a astonishing rate of playing this zone. And we know why they do it. It's something that they found last year. Speaking of the Mavericks, right? They made that trade and they had all these bigs, and the Rockets were like, in order to account for the size, we need to put two bigs on the floor, and voila, we found something special. But with that being the case, like, they're doing a lot, and it'd be one thing if they were doing a lot, and it's just fantastic. I'm not here to say that it's bad by any means. The defense is taking up. But it isn't great, and it looks, I think the way that it looks is really, there's a lot of open threes that are happening. And shout out to Danielle Lerner, who, mind you, is actually going to, this is her last week on the Rockets beat. We want to salute her for the work that she's done there. But she asked Ime Udoka about the zone, and this is what Ime said. Quote, some communication that we need to get better at. I think Fred was a big piece of that last year in the top and kind of getting guys set into slots. And it's not a traditional 2-3, which is very evident.
Right.
We don't want it to be like that, so it's more of a matchup zone. When nobody's in your area, you need to rotate to find a body, find a man. So there are some unconventional things about it that we showed and walked through, especially in training camp, that we want to keep it that way. So that's him talking about, like, the communication and the ways in which sometimes the defensive rotations, which you'll remember we've talked about, are kind of foiling the zone in some ways. Do they need to reel it back a little bit to find a way to get that back on track, or do you feel like they just keep rolling, keep trying to figure it out in large doses?
I keep thinking, as I'm watching the Rockets this year, and we have talked about the zone a lot, and my big sort of sticking point has been, you know, getting back to your man on the skip passes and the quick rotations and such like that offensively. I keep going back to, but would they be better in man? And I know they run a lot of man with the big lineup.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? With the big lineup, and you see these guards, you know, whether, you know, that can maybe create space. And is it even better? You know, is it even better if you're facing some of these wings and guards that that can do stuff with the dribble and put a defender on his heels? The zone might be the lesser of two evils. I don't know. I'd like to see more of it.
Well, the thing about it is, I think that this is supposed to be somewhat of a curveball, and maybe more of a curveball in that, you know, that pitcher that uses their curveball a lot. But even still, I think it's supposed to be some of that. It weighs heavily on me. I mentioned Steve Jones Jr. made this note that they might be putting too much tape of this zone out here. And right now, they still need to get better at it. They still need that, like I said, I think they need that vocal, you know, scene setter, pace setter, somebody that establishes what the quality and the caliber of that defense is. And I think Fred was that, and it doesn't seem like that's been established yet.
Yeah,
I do wonder if, don't stop using the zone, because this is definitely something that you need, and you need to get reps in to figure out how to use it. But I feel like they're overexposing it in a way.
I don't know about that. I wouldn't agree with that. You know, it's going to be on tape no matter what.
Sure.
You know, it's going to be obviously 82 games, the whole nine yards. They're going to be able to see what the rotations are with other players on the floor when you run zone. I don't know about overexposure, as simple as the open looks have got to be killing Ime Udoka.
I know.
Like, just destroying him right now.
I'm 100% with you. And it starts with that rotation, those things that these guys are going to have to figure out. Some of it is just being switched on the whole way through, knowing, hey, where to look. And clearly, I was so happy that Danielle asked this of Ime, because I remember I was like, watching this zone, I can't figure out the rules of it. And this gives me a little bit of the idea of the rules of it, but these guys have to keep their head on the swivel. And right now on defense, they're not quite doing that. And that's why I'm like, hey, maybe allow them to find some camaraderie, maybe not camaraderie, but some, you know, cohesiveness in continued, like, different man sets and stuff. And then, you know, grow into it. Because right now, I think playing this at a historical rate of zone, I don't know that that's beneficial for what you're doing right now.
Yeah, I don't know. And clearly, still so early in the process, so we'll see how it plays out.
No, we will as well. Indeed, rather.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.